اشرفي وفا الله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله السلام علیکم ورحمت اللہ وبرکاتہ ماشاءاللہ عز و جل ویلکم بیک ٹو آور پروگرام یسٹرڈے ٹوڈے اینڈ ٹمارو یعنی کل آج پرسوں وی ہیو سم سیگمنٹس ڈیورنگ دیٹ انشاءاللہ عز و جل اینڈ وی گاٹ ا فکسڈ ٹائمنگ فار دیم سیگمنٹس اینڈ آئی ہیو جسٹ سین دی سیگمنٹس دے آر کوائٹ گڈ ماشاءاللہ عز و جل سو سم تھنگ فار اس ٹو لرن ایز ویل سو واٹ از آور ٹاپک ٹوڈے Let's first of all start with the blessing of recitation upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, recitation of Durood-e Pak. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, when two people who love each other for the sake of Allah azza wa jal meet, shake hands and send Durood upon the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then before they separate, all their past and future sins are forgiven. This is quoted in Musnad Abu Ya'la. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah to Medina, a beloved child was born amongst the Muhajirin companions alayhim ridwan in the area of Quba. Now, Quba is a very, very famous area. Now it's part of Medina. And that is the Quba where the first Masjid of Islam was built. Alhamdulillah, Masjid-e-Quba, its beauty, its elegance, mashallah, it's still there. And the barakat and the blessings are still there. It holds to be the first Masjid built in Islam. Allah Ta'ala has even mentioned Masjid-e-Quba inside the glorious Quran as well. The noble mother, she presented herself in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and placed her beautiful son in the blessed lap of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ordered for a date, a khujur. Then after placing the date in his own blessed mouth and chewing it, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam placed it into the mouth of the child. The first food that this fortunate child ate was the blessed saliva of the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and a date, a khujur. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam then placed his blessed hand over the child and made a dua of blessings for him. This fortunate child was the first child to be born to the Muslims of Medina. And you can imagine how that will be, because our Muslims, they were a very, very close-knit community. And after a long time, the Muslims had the first baby child. And it was a great source of happiness for the noble companions, alayhim ridwan, because the Jews would say that they had bewitched the Muslims and they will not have any children. Yani, the Jews, they said that they've done a magic spell upon the Muslim Ummah and now they will not be having any children. Now if you can imagine, at that time, you know, we're not talking about 1.7 billion Muslims like we have today. There's only a handful of Muslims, maybe 70, 80, or roughly about that many children. I think more than that as well. But there was not many. You could count every one of them. And it says that in one narration it is mentioned that when the Muhajirin alayhim ridwan arrived in Medina and settled there, they had no children. So they had no children, they were all like young youth and adults as well. So the Jews began to say that they have cast a spell upon them. and this became widespread amongst the people. However, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was the first child to be born amongst them. And upon his birth, the noble companions alayhi muridwan chanted slogans of takbir with such might that the echoes of Allahu Akbar could be heard throughout Medina. Can you just imagine that? Can you close your eyes and just imagine that on this baby's birth, the Sahaba Ikram alayhi muridwan, they chanted Allahu Akbar, and he says that the whole streets of Madinatul Munawwara were echoing in the words of Allahu Akbar. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to recite the azan in his ear, and then he sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wasallam himself named the blessed child Abdullah. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Is narrated in Tirmizi Sharif. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam saw a lump in the house of Sayyiduna Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, it seems as though a child has been born in the house of Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha. So do not name the child, I will name the child myself. Then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam named the child Abdullah and gave him his first morsel of food with his own blessed hands. Yes, this is what our topic is. We're going to be talking about this very beautiful and blessed child that was born in Medina, and he was the first child to be born in Madinatul Munawwara. And this child grew up to be one of the most famous companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. His father, Hazrat Sayyiduna Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is amongst the Ashra Mubashara. His father is one of them companions that has already been granted paradise in this world. Who was this child? What was his mother? Who was his father? Who was his aunt? And who was his grandfather and mother? Let's learn this today. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself, he says, my name Abdullah and kunya Abu Bakr were kept after my grandfather. MashaAllah. However, one of his kunyas is also Abu Khubab. His respected father, Sayyiduna Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said to him, from amongst the people, you resemble Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu the most. SubhanAllah. Now, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the grandfather, maternal, yani his daughter was the mother of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair, yani he was the nana of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His family is one of the most noblest families that you can ever think of. His respected father is amongst the 10 fortunate companions who were given the glad tidings of paradise in this world by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani he is from the Ashra Mubashara. His blessed mother, Sayyidatuna Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, is also an individual of great rank because she is the daughter of who? Hazrat Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the first Muslim man and the first Khalifa of the Muslims. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was also the nephew Panja, the nephew of Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Can you imagine being born into a family? Number one, you're the first child that is born in Medina after the Muslims migrated to Medina, because the Muslims, they thought, you know, like the Jews, they were saying, oh, we've cast a spell upon the Muslims. They will not have any children. They will not increase in numbers, the Muslims. And then this religion will finish. But subhanallah azza wa jal, this child that was born, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was born into this noble family. His grandfather, the first person to accept Islam. His father, one of the Ashra Mubashara. His mother, Sayyida Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, one of the greatest companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Can you ask for more? Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Once Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu was mentioned before Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. So he said, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu possesses a pure life and is a reciter of the Quran. His father is Sayyidina Zubair. His mother is Sayyidina Asma. His maternal grandfather is the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His paternal aunt is the mother of the believers, Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. His paternal grandmother is Sayyidatuna Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And his maternal aunt is the mother of all the believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. May Allah ta'ala have mercy on them all and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. You know, so this was Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, who was the cousin brother of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Yani, our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's uncle, cha-cha, was Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. And his son is Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. So he's a very, very close relative of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the love that the Sahaba Ikram, they had for one another. They had love. And ma'azallah, never ever did it ever happen that they had hatred or enmity, or they were jealous of one another. There was no such thing like that in the lives of the Sahaba Ikram. Whichever Sahabi you talk about, alhamdulillah for us, they are all guidance. They are all stars that guide the ummah. So whenever we talk about any Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we will talk to them with respect, with love, and with affection. And for all of these Sahaba Ikram, alhamdulillah, they are all our leaders. That is why when we mention their name, we say Sayyiduna, our leaders. Subhanallah. The kunya of the beloved mother of the believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, is Umme Abdullah. This is because, yes, so her kuniyat was Umme Abdullah, mother of Abdullah. How did Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha get this kuniyat? This is because she requested the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to give her a kuniya. So the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded, keep the kuniyat that is in relation to your nephew, Abdullah bin Zubair. According to another narration, when she took her nephew, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and presented him to the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam placed his blessed saliva into his mouth and said, this is Abdullah and you are Umme Abdullah. Subhanallah. Aside from this narration, there are many ahadith from which we learn that the noble companions alayhi muridwan would first take their new bones to the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this is what we see today as well. You know, when you have a child, you know, we always try to make sure that the azan is given to the child in the ear. He's been given a good name by someone. And then the most of all, guruti, in our language, guruti ahne na, guruti or gutti as is said in Urdu. We make sure that we give the guti from a pious person, so that the child possesses inclination towards this pious person as well. So he possesses the same qualities as the pious person itself. Now can you imagine the guruti that Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, we see that the Muslim ummah, mashallah azza wa jal, today act upon this very beautiful action of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that we take our children, mashallah azza wa jal, to pious people as well, so that they can, you know, take care of our son and he can be having the same blessings from that person as well. Ye pyare sambhai, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, we're going to have our first package today, and it's called the true signs of friends of Allah azza wa jal. Who are the friends of Allah? What are the signs of a true friend of Allah? Let's watch this package and then we'll come back and we'll learn more about this great companion, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Respected viewers of Madani Channel, when it was asked from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam about awliya Allah, about friends of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he alayhi salatu wa salam said الذين إذا رؤوا ذكر الله, meaning awliya Allah, friends of Allah are those when you look at them they remind you of Allah, subhanAllah. A beautiful sign to recognize awliya Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So respect viewers of Madani Channel, when we sit in the suhbah, in the company of friends of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then we remember Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We remember sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We remember about hereafter. We should have that understanding because these people who are friends of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, they walk us to the righteous path, give us an understanding towards salvation. They remind us of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is the true sign of awliya Allah, true sign of friends of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that whenever we sit in their company, they remind us of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
MashaAllah, a very beautiful clip by Rizwan bhai, telling us and teaching us about the true signs of the Wali Allah Azza wa Jal. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, if you've just joined us, then Alhamdulillah, you are watching our program yesterday, today and tomorrow. The companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is who we are talking about today. Now, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one blessing is that he is a companion. Next blessing is that he is one of the closest family member of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, a family member in a sense that he is related to Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And you know, he had all these blessings, but Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also a very, very devoted namazi as well. He was a very, very devoted reciter of the glorious Quran. On one occasion, he was praying and his beloved son was present nearby. Suddenly, a snake fell from the roof and landed near the child. The people created a commotion and began to shout out, "Snake, snake!" and eventually managed to kill it. Despite all of this happening, Sayyiduna Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued praying. So that was Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu's father, who was such a very, very pious person himself as well. Having such humility and humbleness and prayer is his unique quality. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu would remain in prostration for so long that birds would sit on his blessed back, thinking it was a broken part of a wall. Sayyiduna Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Sayyiduna Ibn Abi Mulaykha rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, "Tell me the virtues of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhuma." So he replied, "I swear by Allah, I have not seen a body like the body of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One day he stood to offer the prayer when a stone fired from a catapult like a cannon, it was a tool used to hurl large stones, flew between his beard and his chest. And I swear by Allah Almighty, there was no fear in his eyes. His recitation was not affected at all, nor was his bowing any different to how he usually bowed." Yani, nothing could deter these people from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, let's look at ourselves today. You know, how is our ibadat? How much do we worship of Allah Azza wa Jal? You know, sometimes we don't even get time to do ibadat. Yet, subhanallah, these great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their ibadat was that they were so into it, they were so engrossed in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, that you cannot imagine how these people did their ibadat. Sayyiduna Umar bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, I have not seen anyone pray in a better manner than the companion Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. It is narrated from Sayyidina Ata rahmatullahi ta'ala ali that when Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu would offer salah, it was as if he was something that had emerged from the ground and was stationary. You know, just like, you know, you must have seen scarecrows, we call them. And people put them in the fields. Why? Because scarecrow, they scare the crows away, or they scare the birds so that they don't eat the seeds in the new planted or farmed land. In the same way, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he would stand up in salah, in prayer, you know, he used to be in such a manner that, you know, these animals or birds used to think that he was just a scarecrow there. But subhanallah, you know, talking about these great companions, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibn Abi Mulaikha rahmatullahi ta'ala narrates that Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him, "Why do you have so much love in your heart for Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhuma?" I replied, "If you saw him, you would not find anyone who would pray and supplicate like him. You would not find anyone with faith as strong as his, and no one as generous as him." Subhanallah. So this is what you call khushu or khuzu. Khushu or khuzu means that when you offer your salah with humility, with tranquility, with love, with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, you offer your salah. And subhanallah, one of the personalities was Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He had no love for the dunya. Just like any of the sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you look at their lives, no one had love for the dunya, because they loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They knew that we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there can never be anyone better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they knew what? They valued their deen. They knew what the value of Islam was. Today, me and you, we got Islam for free. We don't have to go through all the challenges that these people went through. So they realize how strong and how important deen is today. Sadly, you know, it's a very, very sad event. But today we offer our salah when we need to. When we're in problem. That's when we start to offer our salah. Someone passes away in the family, majburan we'll have to go to the masjid. We'll have to sit 3 days on the puri. We don't want to, but we have to do it. Why? Bande ke asan na katne asi. So we do everything for our own desires, our own nafs. And these people, they worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal, not for their nafs. They worshipped Allah Ta'ala for Him as being the Rabb of the worlds. Allama Badruddin Aini rahmatullahi ta'ala, he states about khushu. You know, sometimes people ask, how can I get khushu or khuzu, tranquility, humbleness, sincerity in my salah? He says that khushu is recommended, mustahab in salah. My master Allah Hazrat Imam Ali Sunnat, Mawlana Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala writes, the perfection of salah, the light of salah, and the beauty of salah is dependent upon understanding, reflection, and presence of the heart in khushu. Meaning, the greatest prayer is the one that is offered with khushu. Yani, today sadly, we'll offer our salah, namaz se padsa, lekin we don't understand what we're doing. We don't understand when we are bowing in the court of Allah, when we are doing ruku, who are you doing ruku to? You're not doing ruku to a wall, you're doing ruku to the Rabb of the worlds. When you are in sajda, yeah, your most pride part of the body is the forehead. Your most pride part of your body is your forehead. And this pride part of your body, you put onto the ground. And what do you say? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Glory be to Allah. All praise be to Allah. Subhan to be Allah. Glory be to Him. Yeah. And that is when a Muslim is in sajda, he is the most closest in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sayyidina Imam Burhanuddin Ibrahim Zarnuji rahmatullahi ta'ala says, performing the prayer with khushu and khuzu, along with gaining knowledge of the religion, is a means of repelling worry and sorrow. The best way of gaining blessings in your sustenance is to pray with khushu and khuzu. Ta'deel arkan and fulfilling all wajibat, sunnat and etiquettes. So what is salah? Salah, namaz, is not something that we should feel a burden upon ourselves. It's not something that, you know, namaz bhi padni paisi. It's not one of them. Namaz should be, oh my God, Allah has given me the opportunity. Mari kismat. You know, I'm going to be offering my salah. I'm going to be standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even though I can't see Him, He always sees me. And I'm going to be bowing down into the court of the Rabb of the world. That is what you call khushu and khuzu. Do our salah be like that? You know, sadly, when we read our salah, because we don't understand Arabic, we don't even know what we are reading. You know, when you are reading Surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you know, it'd be so good if we can learn the translation. All praise be to Allah, Rabb of the worlds, the most gracious, the most merciful, owner of the day of judgment. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, owner of the day of judgment. To you alone we worship and to you alone we ask for help. You know, guide us on the straight path, the path of those whom you are favored, not the path of those who earn your anger and nor of those who go astray. You know, when you understand what you are reading, that is when you start to enjoy your ibadat. Then what will happen is you won't just do Allahu Akbar for the sake of it. You will do Allahu Akbar, that when you say Allahu Akbar, you cut yourself from the dunya. That's how you offer your salah. Allahu Akbar. Cut yourself from the dunya. Reya kamo piche. Theeka kamo dikne, dikne reyo. Wait for me. Now I am in the court of Allah. Never rush your namaz. Never offer your salah in hastiness. Jaldbazi namaz na podo. When you are offering your salah in such a manner that now you feel what you are reading. You feel that you are talking to your Rabb Azza wa Jal. Yeah, you have that connection with Allah. You know, so many awliya-i-kiram, sahaba-i-kiram, alayhi muridwan, we read their stories. Whenever they used to offer their salah, they used to be so humble, so respectful in the worship of Allah. That, you know, people saw that they were statues. Why? Because they were so humble. Now, very famous incident of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, when his neighbor, when Imam Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he passed away, and his neighbor's child, they said that, Mom, what happened to the tree last, you know, our next door neighbors? They had that tree, and they chopped it down. The mafhum, I think the story is well like that. And the parent, they said that, no, my son, that was my daughter, that was the leader of the Muslims, that was the Imam of the Muslims, he passed away. That was their ibadat. What is our ibadat? We're the last ones to go for our Jummah namaz. We don't get time to learn about our deen. We don't get time to sit with our family and teach them about the deen. We don't get opportunity to look at ourselves and, you know, as they say, step back a bit and picture yourself offering salah, you'll find out everything. Phir pata lagi jaisi. How do I give sajda? Allahu Akbar. Is this how I give sajda? You know, I'm not going to say to you, ask someone to record you when you're offering your salah. But step backwards and see how you offer your salah. Jaldbazi. You know, one person stood next to me. And seriously, I was in my second rak'at. He finished his four sunnats. Parawid baitawa. Why? It's because, you know, number one, I'm surprised how he read so fast. Yeah, and remember, to read Surat Fatiha, yeah, and the surat, you know, because he was offering his sunnah salah, yeah, in every rakat to read Surat Fatiha and a surat is wajib. So if you miss even one word out of that, you know, or you read Zabar Zair wrong, your salah will be invalid because, you know, you've read the Quran wrong, and to read the Quran in salah is farz. So can you imagine that we are given time, we come to the masjid, we've taken time out, but sadly, because we've rushed our salah, we wasted it. But before we go to the next package of today, inshallah azawajal, I want to give this invitation to people. Please, sit with someone, sit with the Imam Sahib, and ask him, Hazrat, can you check my namaz? Can you look at me the way I'm offering my salah? Can you sit with me and I'm going to read you the azkar of namaz? Can you listen to me? Do that, and you'll find out how many mistakes that we have. Sit with them and you'll find out how many mistakes that we'll have. And seriously, if we don't rectify these mistakes, all our life we'll be offering our salah like this. Maybe on the day of judgment, maybe if they are rejected, then what are we going to do? sare niyat karo inshallah. First opportunity, even if you are an Islamic sister, go contact Islamic sisters and say to them, can you listen to my namaz? If you are an Islamic brother, contact the brothers and say, can you listen to my namaz? And inshallah, I'm sure they will listen to you and you can correct yourself and inshallah get the full blessings of ibadah. MashaAllah, we've got a very beautiful package, and this package is called Value the Time. So it's about time management, it's about the value of time. You know, today when we say 8 a.m. koni, 4 a.m. koni, it's because we don't know what time is, time management. Let's listen to Nigrani Shura and see what the value of time should be like. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Happily, we would find many people who have wasted their time in games and useless activities. Some would have grown up, some could have got children too. They would regret when they would remember their past. We were free, we had time, we were healthy and physically fit. We did not have any tensions or issues then. If only I had done all these missings in my life. But alas, I don't have time anymore. Now I'm very busy, I don't have time. You're not the first one who is regretting like this. If you see, you would find many around you with such regrets. They have realization, but they don't express, they don't show to others. Where actually we waste our time? At present, if I talk, then large amount of our time is being wasted in using mobile, right? On social media, keep on scrolling and watching and watching and watching useless stuff. And when one looks at his watch, then he realizes that he has wasted 2-3 hours. Now, if you put your mobile aside and you think that what did I gain from these 2-3 hours? What did I get? If unfortunately you spent these 2-3 hours in sinning, Allah forbid, you were listening songs, watching movies, films, dramas, etc. So that's negative, total loss. Meaning we were unable to do good deeds, rather we ended up sinning. While playing games on internet, one doesn't feel how fast 6-8 hours pass. MashaAllah, watching movies, 3-4 hours are wasted very quickly. Please think, realize the importance of time. We clearly know this. World is just like a field of hereafter. We have to sow the seeds of good deeds. And if we sow the seeds of good deeds in our lifetime, then only after resurrecting from death, we'll be able to harvest its reward. If we don't sow anything, then we won't be able to reap anything. So first is not to waste our time. Secondly, people waste a lot of time by oversleeping. You don't need to sleep too much. Memory is lost because of oversleeping. And pious predecessors did not like oversleeping. Do you know, you can learn the importance of time from this, that a tree is planted, if you say once, Subhanallah, say with the intention of doing dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. These are 4 words, 4 trees are planted, as per hadith. If you recite once Salat upon Nabi, 10 mercies are revealed, and 100 mercies for the one recites 10 times. If you recite so and so tasbih, you get that much reward. If you recite that tasbih, you get this reward. Subhanallah, please try to understand what I'm saying. Think. How much time do we waste? Do you know, the one who would go into paradise, what he would regret for? He would regret for those moments which he would have spent in dunya without dhikr of Allah. Time. Timing is very crucial indeed. It's up to you whether you would like to utilize it positively or you waste it. If you value time, time will make you valuable. If you will not value time, then one day you will lose your own value. Please value time. Utilize this to develop your personality, personal skills, your abilities, and especially focus sincerity, piety, and good deeds. May we don't waste a single moment of our life.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. A very important package about valuing our time. And as we know, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, time, as they say, is of an essence as well. And we need to look ourselves. And why? In this program, Alhamdulillah, you know, it's a coincidence that we're talking about the life of one of the greatest Sahabi, companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And their lives, it teaches us how we should be managing our time. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would split the nights into 3 parts. That's something that we can learn from him. He would split his nights in 3 parts. On one night, he would stand in worship until the morning. And on the other, he would spend it bowing such that the time of Fajr would prayer would begin. and he would spend another night in the state of prostration until dawn. Someone asked his mother, Sayyidatuna Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, about him, and she replied, "My son spends the majority of his nights in worship and his days in the state of fasting. Thus, he was referred to as Hammam al-Masjid, Pigeon of the Masjid." MashaAllah. You know, this was the titles that were given to these great people. You know, Hammam al-Masjid, that, you know, like the pigeon of the Masjid, that is always there. And today, you know, let's look at ourselves. How many times do we go to the Masjid? Maybe we're struggling to even get there on a Friday. Yeah, we'll make it one Friday. Next Friday, we're still running about with our dunya. You know, we've busied so much ourselves in the dunya. We don't even get time to do our work, our deen. You know, as a Muslim, what is our duty as a Muslim? Our duty as a Muslim was to, number one, to worship Allah Ta'ala and to educate ourselves in the deen, to educate our family. Do you know that we will be held responsible on the Day of Judgment for this? We will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. And for that, we need to understand. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had a family to run. He had children, he had family, he had a wife. You know, he had work to do. It's not that these companions, they had nothing to do and all they did was, you know, to stay in the Masjid. That's the love about the Masjid. That shows how much love these people had for the Masjids as well. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he lived for 8 years and 4 months during the era of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam's physical life. During this period, he would frequent the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam because from one aspect, he was from his pure family. Therefore, he would often visit the house of his beloved maternal aunt, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. After the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and her father, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the mother of the believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, did not love anyone more than Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was very eloquent and precise in his speech, which is why he was considered to be amongst the esteemed orators of Quraysh. His blessed voice was loud and thunderous, such that when he would deliver a sermon, his voice would echo through the mountains and return, and it seemed as if the mountains were talking to each other. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu would apply a yellow dye to his blessed beard, and his hair would fall past his ears and touch his neck. Now, subhanallah, you know, these great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, we learned that he spent his nights in ibadat, his days in fasting. And alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, fasting on a Monday is also the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Maybe we can't fast every single day, but at least we can try to fast on a Monday. Being the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will be rewarded for that as well. And why did they worship? Because they were not the people of the world, they were the people of the hereafter. These people, they thought of their hereafter more superior to the dunya. This is why you hear about these great Sahaba Ikram alayhi muridwan, that they would think about the hereafter. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, for a believer, this dunya is like a jail, it's like a prison. And for the non-Muslim, it's like paradise. Our paradise, our life is the real life, is the hereafter. And today we're enjoying this life as well with the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. But this life is not to be enjoyed. There's problems, there's diseases, there's illnesses, there's so many issues in this life. The next life, that is what we need to prepare for. And where do we prepare for the next life? This is the place where we prepare for our next life. This is the place where we need to understand that we need to make it. You can make it or you can break it as well. Hazrat Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one night, he says that he entered the haram and saw some women performing tawaf of the Kaaba. They amazed me and made me curious because they were not like normal women. When they finished performing tawaf, they left. I said to myself that I will follow them so I can see their house. They continued walking until they reached a gorge which they climbed, and I followed closely behind them until they descended from it. Then they entered a deserted jungle and I entered after them. I saw a group of old people sitting together, and they asked me, O Ibn Zubair, how did you arrive here? Instead of giving them an answer, I asked them, who are you people? They replied that we are jinns. I told them that I saw a group of women performing tawaf around the Kaaba, and they dumbfounded me. They did not seem like humans, and they were different creation. Thus I decided to follow them and ended up here. They said that they were our women, meaning from the jinn. O Ibn Zubair, what would you like? I replied, I wish to eat fresh dates. However, at that time, there were no fresh dates in Makkatul Mukarramah. Despite this, they managed to bring me some fresh ripe dates. When I finished eating, they said to me, whatever is left, take it with you. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I took the leftover dates and returned home. Now, just imagine if that was one of us. First of all, when you see a jinn, you'll probably hold your head in your hand and run away from there. Yeah, when you see a jinn. And this is Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, calmly. You know, he was such a sahabi. MashaAllah, you know, when you become a very, very close person in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, then you don't really fear any other creation. Jinns are a creation. They are very powerful creation, but they're not powerful than humans. In a sense that humans, they get jinns working for them. You don't have humans working for jinns. And then subhanAllah, because we are ashraf al-makhluqat, we are better than the jinns. But here, it just shows you how courageous Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. Sayyidina Ibn Abi Mulaykha rahmatullahi ta'ala says, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu would fast for 7 consecutive days. On the 7th day, he would be stronger than us. It was as if he was a lion. SubhanAllah, he was a very strong person. So how was he strong? One, his physique was strong. The other, his iman was strong. That's why people feared Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The enemies feared him. Why? Because he was a very, very strong Muslim. He was a very powerful Muslim. It's narrated by Sayyidina Umar bin Qais rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu possessed 100 slaves. Each slave spoke a different language, that he would speak with each slave in their own language. So he knew 100 different languages. SubhanAllah. This is the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you know, seriously, when you talk about the lives of these Sahaba ikram, they really amaze you. They amaze you. How come that they did everything that they did? Their ibadah, their working, their love for the deen, their passion for the deen, their tabligh of the deen. Every single aspect of the Sahaba ikram, if you look at it, it's amazing how they even got the time to do the work of deen, how they even had the courage to go. And like Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair, if he was hungry for 7 days, he would still be stronger than the people. Why? Because his iman was strong. Unhara iman se mazboot hai, sara iman kacha hai, kamzor hai. That's why, you know, we fear everything today. Apart from, you know, he says that today, you know, we fear the night, rati dar lagna. We fear the day, we fear going into a graveyard, we fear staying at home at night, light goes off. It's a good thing that the electricity doesn't go away in this country. But yeah, if the electric goes, we'll have it. You know, I know that when our children go to Pakistan and when the light goes off, you know, everyone's, you got to have a generator there. If you don't have a generator in Pakistan and you take children from here, very, very hard for them to adjust into that environment. Because here you see 24 hours electric, very rarely does he ever go. But the thing is I'm talking about iman. How can we make the iman of our children stronger? The first thing is, we need to make our iman stronger. We need to look at ourselves first and judge ourselves, and then look at the lives of these Sahaba ikram. What can we learn from them? What can we take from their lives and start to act upon it ourselves? What is it that I can do to benefit my deen? You know, alhamdulillah, number one thing is let's look at the lives of these great companions. Let's see what we can learn from their lives and implement that in our lives and implement that in ourselves so that inshallah azawajal, our deen can benefit from that as well. I've got a very beautiful kalam for you. So let's listen to this beautiful kalam and then we'll come back to the last few minutes of the program. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, 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 All
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. ما شاء الله عز وجل. What beautiful kalam. Allahu, Allahu, mashallah. And you know the background pictures, amazing, subhanallah. You know, Allah Ta'ala is the creator and the cherisher and the sustainer of all of this universe. And mashallah, you know, I always consider myself to be lucky that I believe in Allah. You know, I'm not amongst those people who deny the existence of Allah. We cannot thank Allah Ta'ala enough for making us Muslims and alhamdulillah making us as his servants. May Allah Ta'ala keep our iman steadfast and keep our iman strong. Muhammad bin Abdullah rahmatullahi ta'ala narrates, on the occasion of Hajj, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu delivered a sermon and I was present in that sermon. On the day before the 8th of Zilhijjah, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to us in the state of ihram and recited the talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك, in such a beautiful manner that I had never heard before. Then he praised and glorified Allah Azza wa Jalla and said, without a doubt you people have arrived from different areas and have come to the house of Allah in groups. It is upon the mercy of Allah to honor these groups. Therefore, whosoever seeks goodness and virtue, know that the one who seeks from Allah Almighty does not return with his needs unfulfilled. Affirm your statements with your actions, because the basis of a statement is action and intention. The intention of the heart is reality. Yani, in these days, yani during the days of Hajj, praise Allah Almighty in abundance because sins are forgiven during this period. You have all arrived from different locations and your purpose is not business, to earn money or to attain the luxury of this world. Then he radiallahu ta'ala anhu recited the talbiyah and the people recited with him. I have not seen Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu cry more than he did on that day. Subhanallah. Again, these people, they had so much fear of Allah in their hearts and in their eyes. You know, crying in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. You look at any Sahabi, any Wali of Allah, any pious person, you will see that they will cry in the fear of Allah. How many times have me and you cried? How many times have me and you cried? Ronaya, karobar thanda ho gaya, job lose hogi. We cry because of these things, but we never cry. I missed my Fajr, I missed my Zuhr, I missed my Asr, I missed my Isha namaz. We never cry on these things. The only way we cry is when we lost money. Paisa jila khatam ho jaye na, ulay rona aaye jana. The first silk covering was placed on the Kaaba by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair out of veneration for it. Likewise, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu would apply fragrance to the blessed Kaaba to the extent that the surroundings of the haram would become aromatic and fragrant. Subhanallah. So, you know, a lot of mashallah Muslims are going on Umrah. So when you do kiss the Kaaba, make sure you don't kiss or touch the Kaaba if you are in Ihram. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu would not miss out any opportunity of performing worship in order to gain pleasure of Almighty Allah to such an extent that others would be left humbled. On one such occasion, it became cloudy and rained abundantly. The rain flowed from the mountains and gathered around the Kaaba, making it difficult for people to walk and perform tawaf. Thus, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu began to swim and completed his tawaf in this state. Subhanallah. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Sahal bin Asad Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, I heard that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu delivered a sermon on the pulpit of Makkah al-Mukarramah saying, O people, indeed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if man were given a wali full of gold, he would desire to have a second one. If we were given a second one, he would love to have the third. For nothing fills the stomach of humans except dust. And Allah Almighty accepts the repentance of the one who repents. Aye, Pyare Islam Bhaiyo, within the last few seconds of this program, try to read this story. Alhamdulillah, it's one of the booklets of Amir Ahle Sunnat about Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Read that booklet, learn about his life and do repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Time has come back, it's flown past so quickly. Yeah, and inshallah, let's make sure that we do our ibadat properly and fully as well. May Allah ta'ala bless us. So please take care of yourself and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. Allah. The universe is the body and its soul.